This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome, all listeners in the U.S. and around the world. You're listening to Baseball Outside the Box. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. This is a show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us on another great show. I want to thank all our loyal listeners. Boy, you are always listening, and we really appreciate it. And welcome our new listeners. Before we start, don't forget, listen, you know, Tom, speaking to the coaches, players, and parents. You know, we have a trip that's going to Japan in August, ages 15 and 14. This is one of the best experiences a young person can have in international sports. If you've never experienced international baseball, this is a great opportunity. We've got two spots left. We're looking to place players on that roster. Let me tell you, we play against the Japanese. We train against them. We train with them. We mix the teams up. We do warm-ups. We see the culture of a great country. There's so much learning that goes on in Japan. Don't miss it. Email me at petercaliendo@att.net. I'll send you all the details. Again, only two roster spots open. Love to have you. We'll pick players from all over the country. So get a hold of me, and I will get you all the details. All right, let's get going with the show. Another great one. As you know, we like to get started. We've got a unique one here, a perspective that's different when it comes to the game of baseball. We're talking to the World Series Houston Astros 2017 champion bullpen catcher Carlos Munoz, and we're going to delve into, you know, some of the bullpen work that he does with the pitchers, what he's done there before. We'll talk a little bit about his history, how he started, and it's very unique, very interesting. I think a lot of people learn, especially our young coaches out there, learn a lot from this. And we're going to mix it in with how he handles pitchers, what's the relationship between the two. So much going on. So we're going to have a great talk. Let me tell you real quickly about Carlos. He is originally from Maracaibo, Venezuela. I want to give a shout out to all our friends of Venezuela. And I want you to, you know, we're praying for you that everything works out there. I know things are tough right now. So prayers to everybody, to all our friends in Venezuela. Venezuela, the home of Luis Aparicio. But Carlos Munoz, let me just tell you briefly, and then I'll introduce him. 5 years an associate scout with the Houston Astros. He was also the batting practice catcher for the Houston Astros, batting practice pitcher. He was with the Scouting Bureau. He was with the Major League Scouting Bureau. He went to their school in Dominican Republic in 2011, the bullpen catcher from 2014 to 2017. He's now the head coach and also catching coordinator for a program called 12 Baseball in Texas. He's on Twitter at Carlos96Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z. We will put that on our show notes. That's briefly a little bit about Carlos, but what you're going to hear and you're going to learn a lot from him and listen to his story. So let me welcome to Baseball Outside the Box, Carlos. How you doing, buddy?
How are you, Pete?
I am doing fantastic. It's great. You know, we connected through LinkedIn. You know, it's the first time that we get a chance to really talk. I looked at your history, talked a little bit off the air. Really, really love what you've done in, as a career in baseball. So here's how I think we should start the show. Let's tell our audience, because I asked you this question. I said, you know, Carlos, how, you know, you did a lot in professional baseball. You're talking about a lot of years that you've done in coaching and, you know, and working at scouting. And all the things that you've done, and you started and you didn't play professional baseball. I thought this was very interesting. Tell us a story how you got started.
Well, actually, I was in Venezuela. I was 60 years old, and then I went to this local professional team in Maracaibo for a tryout. I was nervous, you know, 16 years old. I think I used to weigh back then like 145 pounds. And then at the end of the practice, I was asked to leave the facility because I didn't make the team. I didn't make the cut. So a couple of weeks later, I had this friend of mine telling me if I wanted to come to the States, you know, and enroll in this school for like 3 or 4 more years. And then I have an opportunity to get drafted because our dream was to play pro. Our dream was to sign and get some money and keep our family, you know. And we came here. I came here and then I enrolled in this JUCO, junior college, and then I played for 2 years. Alvin Community College, I played there for 2 years. And then at the end of my last year, my second year, I was asked by the head coach, what was my plan back then? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. You don't know. I mean, you got to go to a four-year school now. I'm like, how? Because I'm an international student, and I can't pay for a tuition in a four-year school, you know? And you don't have a sponsor? Yeah, I have a sponsor. He only signed my paper, and that's it. He told me I'll sign, but I won't give you any money. I'm like, okay, sign. And then I was frustrated. I mean, baseball, I mean, I feel bad because I wanted to play. But at the same time, I mean, I was in JUCO with 21 years old of age. And then another friend, I think God put this friend of mine in front of me. He mentioned to me, hey, right there, Telemundo, you know, the TV station Telemundo, they need some help around. I mean, you can, you know, work with the guys, he'll help here, help there. I'll go there and see what happens. I mean, and then 8 months later, they gave me this sports reporter job. So throughout all those years, I did that for 7 years, a sports anchor reporter. I became a sports anchor in this market. I think it's Houston is the third or fourth market in media. I was 21 years old, and then I was a sports anchor back then with 21 years old. But anyways, I met a lot of people in the sports business. So I went. I used to do a lot of coverage with the Astros. So I met a couple of people there. And then I told them, you know what? I want to do something with baseball. I want to do scouting. You have some openings here for scouting because I want to stay in baseball. You know what? Let me call the area scout. So he called Rusty Pendergrass, the guy who signed Hunter Pence, Matt Albers, and a few more guys. He's now, I always forget his name. He plays for the Chicago Cubs. Left-hander hitter, outfielder. He can play infield, outfield. Well, if I remember later, I'll let you know. But anyways, they offered me this gig for free to be a beard dog. I helped the guy for 4 or 5 years. And then while I was doing that, I heard that a guy that used to throw batting practice for the Astros, he got hurt. He got hurt in this motorcycle accident. So I called one of the trainers that I met. And he said, well, give me a couple of weeks and I'll give you a call back. Let me ask here if they're gonna replace him or not. So the guy called me back 2 minutes later. And then he asked me, Carlos, Sean Berry is telling me if you want the job, it's yours. I'm like, Rohan, tell Sean Berry I want the job. So why don't you talk to your supervisor about your report? No, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do baseball. Dude, we're not paying very well here. We're paying like $35. After taxes, like $27. Don't worry. I want the job. I'll see what I can do after that to get my money, to pay my rent, whatever. But I want that gig. Okay. That was a Tuesday. They were in spring training. He told me, okay, come over the ballpark. Come over Thursday, 4:30. And then I'll show up, and the rest is history.
You know what? What a great story. And I'll tell you what, because we've got a lot of young people out there that listen to the show, and I just wanted them to hear it, understand that it does take some sacrifice. You can't get things quick. You definitely sacrificed, and look where you ended up. I mean, you ended up with the 2017 World Series champion, Houston Astros, and now you've got, you know, a lot of things going on. You know, it's just a great story. Now, I got to tell you, I got to ask you, I traveled a lot to Latin America, Dominican, Cuba, you know, I haven't been to Venezuela, but, you know, seeing all the Latin players, one thing that I love about the Latin players, now, you know, obviously a lot of them are great athletes, great players. But man, do they have passion for the game. They love playing this game. Tell me about a little bit about, you know, where's this passion come from? I understand the part about, yes, everybody, you know, all young kids want to get to the major leagues. They want to come to the U.S. and play. But you know what? There's kids that I've seen 11, 12 years old in these countries that just love playing. And they're still, you know, they can't leave yet because they're too young, but yet they still play the game with passion.
Yeah, I think it comes from the parents. I think it comes from my dad. It comes from my friends parents as well. I mean, it's all around, the league is all around Latin America. And what I mean by this is when you're in the field, when you're playing defense, you got to be alive. They tell you, hey, wake up, move, move, do something, you know, talk, say something, communicate. They don't want to see anybody just standing there, not saying anything. You got to talk, you got to move. When you get the ball, say something and throw it, move your feet, all right? Have fun,
yep.
You know? Play like you love the game. Play like you're playing your last game. Play to be noticed. I mean, you got to talk. You got to move. You got to throw hard. You got to run hard. You got to swing hard. That's how you're going to get noticed. That's how coaches, that's how scouts, that's how you're going to be seen. That's pretty much, that's how we grow up. Like in the barrio, you know, in the hood playing, playing like rubber ball or a dish ball made of socks. I mean, and the barrio and the hood, if you don't hustle, you're gonna be replaced like a normal baseball game in the field. You're gonna be replaced and be replaced by, I don't know, 1-2 weeks until you like, okay, they give you another chance. Okay, you get on base. You were out in third base, bad base running. Hey, you're gonna be replaced. So I think that comes from the culture, from the family too, from the friends, from the atmosphere. And the hood, you know.
Yeah, interesting. And also, here's the other thing I see is that, you know, and I have a great concern here in the U.S. because a lot of our kids are going to showcases, and there's nothing wrong with showcases. They need to be showcased sometimes, but a lot of times, you know, in Latin America, the players, and I'm talking about young kids. I'm not talking about professionals. The young kids seem to play the game on their own. They can make decisions. They have instincts. You know, nowadays a player doesn't make a choice unless their coach tells them what to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I used to be one of them. And to be honest, I mean, I get yelled a lot in my face by coaches over there because their job is on the line. I mean, they want to, like, if you win tournaments and then win city tournaments, state tournaments, you get to travel and represent the country, and that's good for you as a coach, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you want the best players in front of you. You want the best players out there. So
you're saying there's a lot of pressure on a lot of pressure is being put on the players also.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then after that, I mean, the player in my case is not just that practice. After that, I used to go to this track team and run track because I was told by this. A scout, Rolando Petit, a brave scout, because the first time I had a tryout, pro tryout, was when I was 15 years old, and then I run the 60s. I run 8-8. So I was told by this scout, "Hey, dude, you need to like join any track team and learn how to run." So that's what I did, and he told me I'll come back next year. So next year I run 7-4, still high, but I mean I was doing a hard work. And my team practice with my team and also on my own, you know, because there was a lot of pressure. And then everybody who used to travel and represent Venezuela, when they came back, they used to sign probably like 5 or 6 guys out of that team. So I just want to be part of that, you know, I just want to get signed.
Interesting. Now, you know, the other area I want to talk about before we get to your bullpen catching, which I think is extremely important, it's going to be have a lot of great information. You mentioned also that you threw BP for the Astros.
Yeah, I used to throw batting practice for them. That's what I started, like doing some field operations. That's what I used to start, like, you know, throwing batting practice. And then after the practice was done over, I used to go to the stands for 3-4 innings and then leave to do some lessons because I was not getting paid that well, you know. And that's normal. Sure. I mean, I understood. So. I have to pay my dues and then just stay there for like 2-3 innings and then go and do a couple lessons.
Well, now as a batting practice coach, give us a perspective. You know, I threw batting practice in a pennant ball and it was interesting. You know, I'm throwing the ball, you know, 50 miles an hour or whatever it was. Give us an idea of your thoughts when you first started and now you've done it for, you know, for 5 years. Give us your thoughts about how should batting practice go nowadays? Should it change or should we keep it the way it is?
Well, I heard that the new batting practice has to be done by machines now. But I mean, I know they compare the speed of this fastball thrown in a game that goes 95 plus in comparison when you're facing batting practice, which is around 55 miles per hour. That's a big difference.
Right.
Okay. And also, when you throw batting practice, you just want to throw the ball down the middle. And then just wait until the hitter, the batter, tells you if he wants the ball outside or inside, or if he wants some breaking balls. Mm. So just make sure you're firm, you throw the ball firm, and then just give it some time so they can recover. They can swing the ball, just watch the ball where they hit the ball. So now they get ready again, and then, you know. But, I mean, just throw the ball. Don't put a lot of pressure on you. Just relax. And then if you throw one bad pitch or a second bad pitch, just relax. I mean, you're a human being. You're not perfect. And they understand that.
Right. And in some ways, you really don't want to be perfect because of the fact that, you know, it's not perfect in a game either.
Exactly. I heard in the big league level that the batting practice pitchers, when they throw every single pitch down the middle, I heard this coming from like three or four big league, like elite hitters. They said, oh, I don't want to face that guy. It's too boring.
Right.
And I'm like, why boring? He's always in the middle. I don't want that. I want something away. I want something here inside. I want something a little bit high, but all the time in the middle, that's boring. Okay. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know that. You know?
Yeah, times will be changing. I think more and more teams, you know, it's going to be harder at the major league level to change right away, but I think you'll start to see some of the minor league teams creating more of a game, you know, more game-like situations to prepare them for the game.
Yeah, and that's coming, you know. The machine, they're using the machine, and the major league teams, they're using the machine like early hitting. That's way before batting practice, normal batting practice. They use the machine. And they use it pretty much for fastball and also for breaking ball. If you're facing a breaking ball pitcher that night, they're using the machine outside. And I think like in Japan, they use two batting practice pitchers at the same time in the field. And sometimes they use the machine down the line. And I think the machine is coming. I think I think you have to wait until one team or two, they start doing it. So you can see the whole league doing it at the same time. I think just one team do it, and then every time everybody's gonna start doing it too.
Yeah, once they see that somebody's successful and they start to get, you know, things start to get better, or they want somebody else to take that make that change first and take the risk.
Exactly. Yeah, you just want to see one team doing it, and then the rest is gonna do it.
All right.
That's normal. That's like the domino effect, something like that.
Sure. All right. Listen, now 3 years as a bullpen catcher for the Astros, won the World Series. Let's start it off with tell us about, as a bullpen catcher, basically day in, day out, what was your main job that you need to really stay focused on?
Okay. I used to get to the ballpark around 11:30 in the morning for a 7 p.m. game. 11:30, 12 noon, I used to get there, change right away on my batting practice uniform, go to the gym and stretch my arm, because I used to train, and I still do. I used to train like a pitcher. I tend to run a lot. I take care of my shoulder, of my arm, of my throwing arm, mm-hmm. because that's what you do.
Sure.
Back then, I used to throw around three, four long tosses. Before batting practice, three, four long tosses with pitchers, not including the batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then not including when you have to warm up before the game, you have to warm up the catcher and or the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a lot of throwing in one day.
Yeah.
And also, if you go to ballparks like Twins or like Cleveland Indians or I think the Royals, they don't have ball boys on the line. So you have to go between innings, just go out there, play catch with your outfielder, and then come back in to the bullpen.
Oh, wow.
Every inning. So that's a lot of throwing. That's a lot of throwing for one day. And that goes through the whole year.
Hmm.
So I used to get there, play catch here, throw batting practice, early batting practice, and then go back to the line, throw again with a reliever or starter, get down in your knees for flat ground. If they need you in the bullpen, you have to go to the bullpen and catch a couple pens over there while they're taking batting practice, and then come back down the line because a pitcher needs to throw a flat ground. And then when you're done there, you look back to the bullpen, and then you got two pitchers waving like, hey, we need you here. Okay, I have to go back there. And then catch another two guys in the bullpen. That's every day. But the key for this job is you have to take care of yourself physically, you know, because it's a long season. Now, but around May or June, your body's completely, you start feeling your body because you have to include a spring training, sort of the season. Now by May or June, wow. Your body start barking.
Mm-hmm. And now, I know you took care, like you said, you take care of your body, take care of your arm. Give us an idea. What are some of the things you did to take care of your arm, to keep it strong, to make sure you didn't get hurt? In that case, what did you do?
Well, thankfully, my sister, she's a massage therapist. She also works for the Houston Dash for the women's soccer team here in town. So anyways, like once or twice a month, I ask her for a massage for my back and for my throwing arm. So I used to do that massage. Because my muscles, they tend to get very, very, very tired. And also, I used to run a lot and get on the treadmill or go outside and run, stretch, do a lot of band work, bands.
Bands?
And then lift. I feel like I'm going back one day to do that job at that level. I'm still taking care of myself because I feel like I'll be back one day. So I'm working on it. I'm getting physically strong and, going to bed. By 9:20, 9:30, I'm already in bed and waking up and, training and working.
Yeah, you had to take care of yourself just like if you were playing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Now, that's the key.
Now, let me ask you, here's an interesting part. What, in your bullpen, as your job as a bullpen catcher, what would you say was the most difficult thing that you had to handle?
Well, difficult, I will say a lot of things. I will say when you have the scouting report on these two batters, and then they call from the dugout, they call over, hey, get this guy up. And then you have the bullpen coach telling this guy, the pitcher, hey, the reliever, hey, you're going to face the next inning, those three right there. Let's say Batista, Encarnacion, and Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Batista, this is an example. Batista, we're going to throw down sliders on the ground first. So when he says that, you have to get ready and start, blocking those pitches on the ground.
Mm.
And you have to do it. You have to do it. The pitcher is telling you on the ground, throw that thing. And he's not throwing it at 70 miles per hour. He's throwing it like 95 plus, a sliders on, fastballs and also a sliders on the ground. Also, it's hard, but I think it's fun. It's funny when you have to go and play in these ballparks. They don't have a closed bullpens. They have open bullpens like Oakland or Tampa.
Yeah,
you have to make sure you block.
Yeah, that ball ends up in the dugout.
Or if you're catching in Tampa, you miss one, the ball is gonna go all the way to the home plate.
Yeah.
They're gonna call timeout, and the whole field, the whole fans, they're gonna look at you, not the pitcher, you.
Yeah.
The same with Oakland. You miss one pitch, one throw, the ball's gonna go all the way to right field, timeout, and all those fans in right field, which I miss so much. Funny guys, crazy guys, in a nice way. Man, last time I missed one, I got this guy telling me, hey, go and get a job in Home Depot. You suck. I'm like, come on. Yeah.
Don't realize that there's a lot of pressure. And on top of that, if you don't do your job properly, that pitcher doesn't prepare properly either.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to do your best. I mean, no matter what. I mean, in those open bullpens, you don't have a background, black background. You have people sitting behind. I mean, the guy can throw the ball 90, 92, 93, 94 miles per hour, and the ball can get like in the middle of this white chair in the background, but you got to catch it. You know, you got to make sure you throw the ball back quick. No matter if you get jammed and you thump, you got to get back the ball quick to the pitcher. Get ready again.
Carlos, you know? Let's take a starter. He does his warm ups and now he's going to throw in the pen. How does a starter prepare? You got nine batters in the lineup. He can't prepare for all nine, I'm assuming, in your warm-up. So give us an idea. What do some starters do to get ready, you know, as far as how many pitches they might throw? What type of pitches do they throw, from the windup, the stretch, both?
Yeah. Dallas Keuchel. I used to follow that guy a lot. Mm-hmm. Every time he pitched, I mean, he can – He will get together with the catcher of that game and go through every single player from the other team, even bench players. Mm. You know, after that, he will like get a massage, get in hot water, cold water, and then an hour before the game. No, not an hour, because if it's a 7:05 game, he will head to the bullpen and get ready around 6:30. So probably like around 5:30, you will see him in the gym, like, you know, running a little bit, stretching, doing some medicine ball work. And I mean, focus. I mean, you see Dallas Keuchel focused, like locked in, like different face, different mentality, different look than the Dallas Keuchel you saw the day before. I mean, don't say hello, don't say anything. He's getting ready. You know, he's a pro, he's getting ready. So I used to run to the bullpen around that time, 6:25, and then he would get there around 6:30, 6:35. Remember coming, seeing this guy coming, throws me, drop the glove, circle his arms, and then sprint, run through sprint towards the right field and come back. And then, okay, now let's play catch. And then after we play catch, couple breaking balls, changeup, fastball, sinkers. Now I'm going to the bullpen. So when he's in the bullpen, there already was Brian McCann waiting on him. So they will go through, if you have to say or talk about something, he will do it before. They will do it like before they start playing catch, getting ready. Okay, couple things, 10 seconds. Okay, let's go. Let's warm up. 30, 35 pitches, and he's ready to go.
And what about his pitch sequence? Those 35 pitches, is that just the pitcher's making that decision? Is there a chart that's telling them, you know, those 35 pitches to warm up, what to do?
Well, it's not necessarily 30 or 35 pitches. He can go to even 50 pitches if he wants. You know, he's not throwing 100% fast in the bullpen. He's probably throwing like 50, 60% each, you know. And then he will like, okay, sinkers away, sinkers in, change-ups, now high pitches. And then he probably take a break and drink some water, talk to Strummy. Oh, yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, remember your sinker. Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay, one more round. Let's go one more round, 10, 15 more pitches. Okay, I'm out, you know. He can take 25 pitches all way up to 45, mm-hmm. 50 pitches, you know.
And now, so you then, during the game, are going to have the middle guys, the closer, how do these guys, you know, some of them, like, everybody's a little different. They don't have a whole lot of time to get ready. Just some advice to get ready quick. Maybe some of the pitchers, what they did, you know, everybody's a little different, might have a different routine because, you know, they might get them up warming up and, you know, and he might have to come in after two batters.
Yeah, by the fourth inning, everybody will get up and start running, doing like soft sprints. A couple guys will grab like, I don't know, a medicine ball. Other guys will get like a roller and start stretching on the ground or against the wall. And then just get ready because it's the fourth inning. The fifth inning is coming. Also, now, if the starter pitcher is getting beat up by the first or second inning, you as a bullpen coach, you come over and you talk to your long man. The long man, it's a starter that now he's a reliever in the bullpen. In case something happened with the starter, he's your long man. He's the one who's going to throw 3, 4, even 5 innings just in case something happened with your starter, okay? So, like you said, I mean, everybody's different. Everybody, relievers or closer, they're different. I mean, some guys, they will, like, stand up and do some work while the closer will stay just, you know, sitting down because, it's too early. By the 4, you never know if you're going to throw that day or not, but still mentally you got to be ready.
And some of them, you know, as the season goes on, they have a pretty good idea. They can anticipate when they're going to be called on.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like if you are the closer and then the night before you pitch and then the night before 2 nights ago, you pitch again. I mean, by the third night, you're like, okay, you talk to your bullpen coach. Hey, am I throwing today? No, you know, you're down. Okay, who else is down? You're down too. Because this other reliever, he threw the night before, he threw 28 pitchers. So they're giving him a night off. You know, you're not pitching today. But I want to pitch. No, you're fine. I mean, come on, dude. We're May. Don't worry about it. You're down today. Everybody else is up, you know? But by the time they call, I mean, you should know by mid-season, by the time they call from the dugout, you should know, you pretty much have the idea who's going to get up, who needs to stand up and, you know, get up and start playing catch.
Carlos, you know these guys pretty good, obviously, if you spent a whole, you know, spring training, then the season. You know, are there times, even as a bullpen catcher, are there times where, you know, you need to say something to the pitcher, encourage them, remind them about something, anything like that?
Yes, I was not the guy that I used to go out there and tell him, hey, you gotta throw like this or like that. No, this is my philosophy. Just wait until they ask you, you know, because I'm not a coach. People call you coach. I'm not a coach. I'm a bullpen catcher. You know, that's different. Mm-hmm. Coach and bullpen catcher. But I appreciate that. I mean, but at the same time, like, if he's throwing to you flat ground or he's getting ready in the bullpen and then he's like, he calls you over, come here. Hey, how's my changeup? Is my changeup doing this way or he's going to the other? No, he's doing this. Okay. That's when you say something to them if they ask you, you know. That's my philosophy. I don't want to get like in the middle because I know they're locked in. They want to do this and they want to do that. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, dude, hold on. No, you don't want that. You know, yeah. I don't want to do that unless they ask you if this pitch is doing that or if he's tipping off the pitch with a changeup or he's tipping off the pitch before he throws this breaking ball, you know.
And as far as when we're talking about the analytics of the games, you know, sabermetrics and, you know, how much does the pitching coach obviously has all the stats and he's talking about all that. But is a lot of that done prior to the game, you know, 2-3 hours before? Is there meetings? How does that work?
Meeting used to be around 3:30. All bullpen guys, let's go. Let's meet at 3:30. Okay, what's going on? Okay, we have this team today. Remember what happened last time. We're going to throw to this guy, and this guy this way. Call Calhoun. Let's put this simple. Call Calhoun, you lefty. Remember, last time we didn't do a good job. This time we're gonna treat Cole Calhoun, a left-handed hitter. We're gonna pitch to this guy with sliders, and then we're gonna elevate at the end, or we're gonna elevate the first two, and then we're gonna throw sliders on the ground, something like that, you know. And then the bullpen, you have the same paperwork. If you forgot something, and if you have something to clarify, you call the bullpen coach and then you talk to the bullpen coach. Hey, what did we talk about, Cole Calhoun? Oh, remember, we had to throw this way, this sequence. This is the sequence for today against this guy or against this other guy. We're going to throw him this way, you know? And then you see all the paperwork, probably like 4 or 5 pages full of information from the analytics department, which is very interesting. I really enjoy doing that, you know?
Yeah, and maybe we'll get into that, but I wanted to ask before we do – You know, talk to a lot of the high school youth coaches, also some college. You know, you heard, you know, they heard your story and, you know, and what you do in the bullpen and how important it is. Now we've got, you know, possibly a young man out there, and sometimes maybe the coaches don't put enough emphasis on this. Maybe they have a young man who didn't make the team yet, but he can have the opportunity to be a bullpen coach in high school or even in youth baseball. And you know, they might say, well, I don't want to do that because, you know, that I'm just the bullpen catcher. Well, but, you know, from listening to you, what you did in the bullpen, you prepared for real games. If coaches start to see that you get better, is that an advantage?
Yes. I mean, I'm going to talk about these two sides. The first side I'm going to talk about from the culture side, just make sure when you tell one of your relievers to get ready, just make sure this guy doesn't throw all his bullets in the bullpen. Like I have these guys coming at me, hey, coach, okay, what happened? No, a couple nights ago, coach called bullpen, and then I'm trying to get ready, and then I got ready, and then I threw like 28 pitches in the bullpen. 28 pitches. Did you pitch in the game? Did he bring you in? No. Okay, so you need to talk to your coach about, you know what? And then, and you're, from your side, you as a pitcher, you have to like, okay, get your tempo. You don't have to throw pitches after pitches after pitches. Probably throw like 2-3 pitches, watch the game, take a breather. Now get ready again. Two, three more pitches, watch the game. Now throw again, you know? At the end, you're going to have probably like, the umpire is going to give you 5 or 6 more pitches before you actually going to pitch again a batter in the game, you know? So coaches, just talk to your pitchers about how to get ready properly in the bullpen. You don't want this guy to throw the first time you call him 28 pitches and then you didn't bring him. And then the next inning you call him again and then he throws 20 more pitches. And then when you bring it in, when you bring your reliever in, instead of throwing 85 miles per hour, he's going to throw 78 miles per hour. He left everything in the bullpen. I mean, and then you blame everything on him. You know, you have to, like, be conscious about what you're doing, your decisions, you know. And then just talk to the entire bullpen crew about how to get properly ready for work, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of there could be some high schools or even youth coaches, you know, they don't have a coach they can send down to the bullpen. Maybe you're coaching by yourself. And, you know, that's how important whoever's going to catch. And at the same time, I would think that if they take their job serious, the catcher that's catching the pitcher between innings or during the game, they're going to get better at what they do. And possibly they have a chance to play one day.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're the catcher. I mean, you're forming this battery with your pitcher. I mean, and if you see something going on with your pitcher, just call timeout, go up there and ask him what's going on. You're right. Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. Breathe, man. You got to breathe. Calm down. One pitch at a time. Okay. We got this, you know, he's the only one. You are the only one as a catcher. You are the only one who got his back, you know, so you have to like, not just throw hard, throw this breaking ball here, throw that elevate pitcher right here, pitch right here. Just go out there and make sure he's fine.
All right. So you're sending the, let's use this scenario. You're sending the pitcher. It's during the game. I'm a youth coach. I'm a high school coach. You send the pitcher down to the bullpen to get ready because maybe, you know, it's the fourth inning. Somebody's having trouble. You might want to get another pitcher in. Give advice to our coaches and even our catchers that are going to be in the bullpen. Some of the important areas of what to do at that time to get that pitcher ready.
Okay, just tell you as a coach, you're going to tell your pitcher, hey, you're going to face the second batter next inning. Don't just send, I mean.
With a goal, not just a plan, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Have a plan and tell your pitcher, hey, you're gonna pitch to the second batter or first batter or third batter next inning. Mm-hmm. So the guy has already in his head, okay, I need to get ready fast because I'm facing the second batter next inning. Or, hey, you're gonna pitch the seven or you're gonna pitch the six. It's just the third inning or fourth inning, you're gonna pitch the six. I'm like, okay, I got plenty of time. You don't wanna send a guy over there, hey, go get ready. Okay, I'm gonna get ready. Get it, ready, ready. And then all of a sudden I throw everything in the bullpen And then when I have the chance to throw the real game, I got nothing. You know, just send them with a plan. Okay, coach, what? Okay, you're facing the second guy next inning. Right or lefty? Lefty. Okay, I'm going to get ready for lefty. You know, I need to get that first out. Okay, I need to have a plan. And don't be shy. Don't be scared to confront in a good way your coach or talk to you nicely. Talk to your coach. You know, hey, coach, I mean, this is what I see. And this is my idea, you know. I mean, everybody that I talk to about some coaching situations, they're like, oh, I don't want to talk to my coach. Talk to your coach, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, coach, can I go to your office tomorrow? Can we meet 30 minutes before practice tomorrow on the field? I need to tell you something. Or you just call him over the phone and tell him, hey, I think we should do it this way or this other way because I don't feel good. In my situation, my arm needs more time to get ready. Or my arm, you can use me if you need a pitcher in the next two batters. I can get ready for you in that short period of time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Carlos, you're working with catchers now in your program, 12 baseball there, and you've got, you know, all your catchers. Talk to our coaches out there. What early on with most of your catchers before the season, what are some of the key areas that you focus on that you're working on with your catchers? Because there's so much that you can work on with a catcher. Where do you start?
Footwork and framing. I mean, pretty much, let's start with framing. I mean, let's say 10 years ago, I mean, every coach was like very happy, very like impressed having a catcher throwing gas over second base, to second base, to third base. I mean, oh, that's the catcher that I want. But right now in the big leagues, framing, in my opinion, and I've seen it, and I run this this report a couple of weeks ago where they want framing to be the priority right now, you know, mm-hmm. framing. And then if you can frame and you have a good arm and good defense, you can play. You're going to play. But right now, framing is the main thing right now. I mean, they even do, I remember 2015, when we were still in Kissimmee, they were holding the analytical department, they were holding these meetings, 2 hours meeting with the catchers, major league and minor league catchers, 2 hours meeting, talking about just about framing. I was like, really? Wow. Yes, 2 hours talking just about framing. And footwork, you know, it's very important. If you can keep that front foot when you're ready to throw, if you can keep that front foot straight to the back that you're going to throw. I mean, you don't want to throw 100% with that front foot and the other side. Like, if you get, like, for example, if you want to throw to second base and your front foot is pointing to third base, I mean,
yeah,
I'm sorry, but I mean, that's not good for your elbow, pretty much, yeah. For your elbow, you know? Mm-hmm. And I emphasize, that's my main work right now. Framing, fastballs, fastball away, fastball in, breaking balls, framing, breaking balls, low breaking balls away, breaking balls in, high hitters, you know, and don't be afraid to bring that ball to the middle, you know, don't be afraid to do what these catchers in softball, I mean, I like what they do. They're not afraid. They catch that thing. They catch that ball outside and then whoop, down the middle. Yeah, do that. Don't worry about it.
Now, let me ask you, when you're talking about framing, and I know it's a podcast. It's difficult on a podcast because they can't see it. But what are some of the mistakes? Because I think you just mentioned one. What are some of the mistakes that catchers make when it comes to framing?
Well, I told my catchers to keep, I mean, you can raise your hand and put the hand, open hand, your palm in front of you in your chest, like you're going to catch. Now, make sure that hand is always on top of the elbow. You don't want the elbow. Now try to catch a ball like very low and the elbow goes up. You don't want that position. You don't want to get in, mm-hmm. in that position. I teach my catchers to give a target. And then when the guy is getting ready to throw the ball, get your hand and show with your thumb and the finger next to it, and show like the L. Remember that, like, you know, mm-hmm. those little kids showing the L for loser, mm-hmm. right there. That's a strong yep. position to catch the ball. You know, some catchers that I see when they have the inside pitch, they go they go and they elevate the elbow and the glove goes down, and that's a weak position to get an inside pitch. So make sure you show the target the ball, the guy's getting ready to throw the ball at you, you show the L and you go from there, you know. And just make it look easy, make it look like, you know, show soft hands, show a you have to have like a relaxed body. If the guy's throwing 90, 95 plus, whatever, stay loose, because if your body's tense and then the guy throws a 95 miles per hour fastball to the other side of your body, if your body is tense, you're not going to get it. You're going to miss it. So stay loose, get a good foot position, and that's the key. One of the keys is stay loose. Stay loose and show soft hands, and you go from there.
Now, when you were a bullpen catcher, did you work on framing in bullpen, or did you just catch?
Well, personally, or with other catchers?
I mean, you were in the big leagues in the bullpen, and you were preparing a pitcher. I mean, were you framing for him so that way it's equivalent to the game?
Oh yeah, if the pitch is right there, I will frame for them. You know, any close pitch, I will frame for them. Now remember, I was warming up this guy. I was not in the game. I didn't have anybody in first base or second base or third base. I'm just trying to get this guy ready. Now, right. The guy's right there. Okay, outside. Okay, I'm gonna go outside and wait for that fastball right there. I will frame for them. You know, the pitch is right there. I will frame for them, and they will appreciate that if you do that job for them, that extra job for them.
Hmm. Now I know you work with pitchers also. Let's talk a little bit about the pitchers. Where do you see some areas that coaches need to really focus on with pitchers nowadays when it comes to young players, especially?
Well, you need to. I will do, and this is what I do with my pitchers. I will do this little short assessment where you find out what is the state or the condition of the body of this pitcher you're going to train, because you're not going to ask this guy to throw 100% 5 minutes after you play catch without knowing if he's in condition to throw, to start throwing hard to you, you know. Mm-hmm. You talk to him. I mean, I know you have an hour or 30 minutes when you're working in a private session, but you have to talk to him. Hey, when was the last time you played catch? 2 weeks ago. Oh my God. Okay. I got to be careful with this guy. Have you been playing catch? No, I was out of town. Have you been doing bands work? Bands, you know, jaggers? No, not really. Oh, okay. So I got to show him how to do bands. Do you know how to do bands? No, sir. No, I'm sorry. Okay. So I got to be careful with this guy. Just play catch. In that situation, I'm just going to just see how his mechanics are, and then I will tell him, hey, dude, let's play catch. Like catch, and then we go from there. Then after that, hey, coach, I want to throw my breaking ball. No, dude, not today. Easy. I'm going to go easy with you, you know? Mm-hmm. And then at the end, I will show him, hey, dude, do you have a band at home? No. Okay. I will recommend you to make the best investment. If you want to go to this brand, big brand market right here around the corner, I don't want to mention the name, you know.
But oh, I understand.
You just pay $7, and then you have a band. But I'm going to show you right here with this band in front of your dad. If you want to film it, just film it. So you, when you get home every other day, you can do this. You do this, and then you do this, and then you do this exercise for your elbow. I want you to start doing it. And then you, dad, make sure he does it every other day or twice a week for 2 weeks, you know. And then we go from there. So you got to be careful, you know, because right now, I mean, there's so many, because they have you and then they have their coaches, and then the coaches ask them to do something else, and then they come to you, and then if something happened, I mean, you want to keep your players, specifically your pitchers, in good shape, and you know, and you don't want it to get hurt.
Yeah, and safety is obviously very important. So I like the way you make sure that you understand the pitcher, their body, their mechanics before you start to do anything. The other thing is, you know, because I think you brought up something interesting. You mentioned, you know, these guys have more than one coach. It would be the ideal situation and ideal situation if, you know, they had a pitching coach that were doing lessons, if they could communicate with their regular coach, so that way both of them were on the same page. Because a lot of times the player's kind of in the middle. He gets information from his private lesson coach, but then he gets other information from his regular coach.
Yeah, I mean, I have these couple parents coming to me and telling me, the his high school coach wants him to throw a breaking ball more often. Oh, really? Yeah, they because he has a good breaking ball, a curveball. So last time when he pitched mostly curveballs. I'm like, oh my God, really? Yes. And then you see, when you hear that, you see that I know the coach, he wants to win. I know the coach wants to have a good record at the end. I know the coach wants to get a better job, like a D2, D1 school in the future. He wants to win. He wants to, like, you know, I understand that. But at the same time, I mean, you need to talk to the parents the way I'm talking to you right now, Pete, and tell them, hey, dude, I know, sir, and you. I mean, I know you guys want to improve. I know you want to improve in this sport. I know you want to do good and all that, but you got to do it the smart way. I have pitchers. Mm-hmm. I have pitchers coming at me telling me, during spring break, we're doing football workouts. We're doing bench presses, and then we're doing incline bench press and all that. I'm like, seriously? Yeah, because the coach that is now, because the head coach is out of town now. The coach in charge right now is the football coach. And then I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, doing shoulder press and all that. I mean, military press. I mean, if you're a pitcher, you need to talk to your coach. I mean, like I said before a couple of minutes ago, don't be afraid to tell your coach, hey, you know what? I'm a pitcher, and I don't think this is good for me, you know, but in a nice way. You don't want to get in confrontation with your coaches, you know.
Right, right. But that's why I think it's important that there's more communication out there between coaches. You know, and we have this situation a lot of times in travel teams and high school coaches. You know, they have – different, they play at the same time, or they're playing, you know, the pitcher's pitching on Thursday and then he travels and then he has to pitch on the weekend. Mm-hmm. If they communicated more, then we, you know, the player would be safer also, because it's pretty dangerous throwing on a Thursday and then turn around and throwing on the weekend right away. And that's why I bring that up.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think, and more in the future than the present. I mean, you want this guy. You want to develop this guy so he can have a bright future in baseball. I don't know, college ball, and then you go little, you know, step by step. You go high school and college, and then, I don't know, maybe pro. Mm-hmm. And he probably is not going to get hurt right now, but he's probably going to get hurt later on, you know?
Sure, sure.
Like, it's not because in the future, when he's 17 or 18, it's not because he threw 90 pitches in one game. No, it's – everything is getting, I mean, it's been getting, I mean, putting together, like, remember when you pitch, when you threw 100 pitches when you were 12 years old,
yeah,
in that tournament, and then the tournament, two months later after that, the coach asked you, and then you threw 90, and then when you were 14, I mean, all those pitches, and then there's a time where your arm is like, you know what, dude, I'm done with you, boom, you know?
Mm-hmm. Carlos, talk to our – let's a couple more things, and then we'll close it off. And how we close it off is I just kind of let you talk for about a minute, you know, anything you want to mention to our coaches, players, and parents around the world. You know, you get a minute to do that. But before we do that, talk to our coaches about the player – the pitcher-catcher relationship. You know, a catcher has got to know each pitcher pretty good. Talk to them how to train these kids and what to train them on to build that relationship. Because, you know, young kids, they don't know how to build relationships yet. You know, what's important? What would you teach a catcher when it comes to working with pitchers on a good relationship and knowing them?
Well, if I have a tournament this coming weekend, I will tell my catcher or my pitcher, hey, why don't you call Michael, he's gonna catch you this weekend, and then just talk to, like, just spend invest 5 minutes talking with your catcher or your pitcher for this weekend. I mean, you have to set up a plan, you know. You just don't want to show up in the ballpark. Hey, Michael, you're pitching. Oh, really? Who's catching?
Yeah.
When you hear that, who's catching? Oh my right. God, who's catching?
Right.
You know, hey, I'm catching. I'm here, Joe. Hey, you? Yeah, I'm catching. What do you throw? Oh, curveball, breaking with fastball. Okay. You know, how about if I call this guy and then talk to with this catcher or pitcher for 5-10 minutes? Okay, what do you throw? Yeah. Hey, dude, can we play catch? You want to play catch right now? Yeah, let's play catch. Oh, I can't right now. How about tomorrow? Yeah. So I can see how you're breaking ball, you know, how you're breaking ball, I mean, does and all that. Also, me as a coach, this is my main my main plan right now, because I'm going to start coaching this high school team in May, mid-May, for the 12th. One of the things that I have right here in paper, it's to let the catcher call the game.
Ah, that was my next question. Fantastic. Go on. Yeah. Go.
Yeah. Just let him call. I mean, he's going to learn. He's going to make some mistakes. And then when he comes back, you're going to tell him, dude, why you call that pitch? Oh, no, you got to call this pitch or that pitch. Okay. Now you have to have some signs too from the dugout. Like, hey, dude, if I do like this, I want you to call a elevated fastball. If I do like this, I want you to throw something to dirt. Okay, just in case. But I'm not gonna do it just in case. But you as a catcher, you guys are gonna call your games, and those guys, they're gonna love you. They're gonna like you right away. I mean, I was assisting this junior college guy a couple years ago, and then he was calling the pitches. I mean, the coach was calling the pitch. I mean, which is, I'm like, okay, this catcher next year is going to go to D1. And then, I mean, the whole game, he was turning his head over his coach. I'm like, hey, dude, at least let him. No, I got this. Okay, that's fine. But that's one of the main things. Just let him learn. They'll learn, you know. And I will start doing that. Just let him call the game and let him run the game. They'll because in 2 years, they're going to be in – they're going to be facing a harder competition, which is, I don't know, college, D1, or even pro. You know, you never know in baseball.
Well, you know, I like what you said, and I'll tell you why. Because early on, you know, I asked you the question, you know, Latin players, they seem to be able to play the game on their own. And nowadays, everything's controlled. And you know, I have the same philosophy you have. I believe that, you know, at the younger ages, we're in the development business. We're not in a winning business. And we need the – we need to give them more responsibilities so that way they do fail early on. And it sounds like you give your catchers a lot of responsibilities. We're not just talking about calling pitches. You give them also responsibilities on pickoffs or calling anything they see out there, because they got everything in front of them.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. You're exactly right. Yeah.
Yep. Is that so if they see a guy taking too big a lead off, does your catcher have that opportunity to make that call?
Yeah, I mean, he's behind the plate. Then if he sees this guy taking a big lead, I mean, he has to have a sign to let this pitcher to let his pitcher know, hey, turn, pick up. You know, I mean, catching is not easy. I mean, you have to be in the game. You have to be controlling. Now, if you're a pitcher, and then obviously you're catching, and then you know this guy is running in the next pitch. I mean, you also have to have a sign for a lie step or for a pickup, because you have to control your running game as well. I mean, and some other things. I mean, we probably need like 1 or 2 more hours to talk more about this.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You know? Yeah,
that's why I love this game. But, so many things you learn.
But what's great is, you know, that the coaches begin to understand that, you know, kids need responsibility so they can play the game a little bit on their own, or if they're never going to learn if they don't make some mistakes. And I think that's what coaching is all about. You're there to help them. So I really like what you said. And, you know, we'll close it off, Carlos. This has been great. Let's close it off with, you know, anything that you know, because like you said, there's a lot of things to talk about. But anything that you just want to talk to our coaches, any advice you want to give to our coaches, players, and parents around the world, it's your time, and then we'll close off the show.
Yeah, I mean, for the players, I mean, just if you want to play this game, if you have a plan, if your dream is like, okay, I want to play high school, Okay, get ready. Get ready now. If you're 11, 12 years old, get ready now. Don't wait 2 weeks before that tryout to get ready. I mean, I have so many parents calling me. Hey, my son has a tryout next week. Can you get him ready? I'm like, okay, I'll try my best. But it's not the right time. It's not the right thing to do. And remember, batters, hitters, cage time is good. But remember, you guys need to try to develop your arm too. Get on the field, play some long toss, run some sprints. Baseball is not just hitting. You need to try to get faster too. Okay, remember, you gotta run the 60s or probably 40s, and then they're gonna gun your arm too. So get ready in the other areas too. And coaches, like I said, I mean, just let them play, have fun. All right, don't worry about winning or losing. Just worry about development. You know, let the guys take some risk, and they'll learn. They'll learn after mistakes. They're going to come back and ask you, or you're going to tell them if they don't ask. You know, just let them play and have fun. And don't worry about the trophy. I mean, I got trophies here. I don't know where to put them. They're in the garage. I don't know. Let me ask my yeah. wife. Maria, where are my trophies? You know, my
in
trophies?
A box.
Where are they? On the box.
I told you, in a box.
And they're little ones. They're not heavy. I mean, that's a nice recognition, but I'm not worried about it.
That's true. Carlos, this has been awesome. Fantastic. I hope you got a lot out of it, because I did. And one of the stories of Carlos coming over here and, you know, just showing coaches and players that, you know, you gotta sacrifice a little bit if you want something really bad, man. And he sacrificed and went a long way. So, Carlos, I want to thank you. I know you got a family. You got a lot of work to do. You got young kids. I want to thank you for being on the show.
No, thank you. Thank you, Pete, for the opportunity. And then, you know, I'm very approachable. If you find me on Twitter or Instagram, Carlos96Munoz, I mean, if you want to send a line, I mean, I'll be there. I'll answer any questions. I mean, I'm always on my phone, reading, learning, and, you know, if you have a line to drop a line, and then we can chat a little bit about baseball.
Fantastic. Thank you, Carlos. And folks, don't forget, check him out at Twitter and Instagram, Carlos96Munoz. We'll put it on the show notes. I've been on his Twitter, a lot of good information. There's some books that he recommends there too, so check it out. Don't forget. And thanks for joining us on the show. Don't forget, you know, we love to hear from you. So send us your questions, comments, anything. Send it to petercaliendo@att.net. Hey, I want to thank our producer on the other side of the window, Brian Kroc, with the Lineup Media Group. Thank you to Carlos Munoz, the 2017 Bullpen Catcher World Series champion. He sounds like a tremendous coach. I hope that he gets more opportunities out there. So don't forget, communicate with him. Hey, I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. You've been listening to Baseball Outside the Box. And I want to wish you a great coaching day. And we will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.